the preacher of the hour will be bringing forth the word, amen, the word of God. We'll bring forth the word right now. Let's thank God as Deacon Howard Gavin comes forth now with the word of God. Have your Bibles ready and everything, because our souls are going to be fed, what? The word of God. Amen. Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We are certainly glad to be here and certainly blessed of the Lord to see our dear mother walk in. I tell you, what greater blessing. What great. Hallelujah. Not greater in this venue, on this earth, in physicality. Let's give offer a word of prayer, if you please. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for all your people that are gathered here, those, Lord, that are not able to, or those that are on their way. And we thank you, Lord, for all your people that listen in by way of the webcast. We pray, O God, that, Lord, you will intervene, having intervened, all things of thee, eternally. And we're just manifesting, Lord, what you have eternally wrought. Spoken into existence. Cause your people to be blessed, Lord God, according to that truth which you have provided for them this moment in, my God, the created entity of time. Bless our mother, our precious mother in our midst, and all the saints of God, not just in this assembly, but everywhere we ask it, O Lord. Have your way in your message, your word, and with your servant in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Won't you turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians? We are going to deal from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 15 through 18. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. And Elder, I think we're going to have you read from the King James Version first. And perhaps we may go to the interlinear, or I have the exegesis. I'll tell you what. Ella, instead of starting at verse 15, let's start up at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Do everyone have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ella, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, begin reading from the King James Version.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with the 8th verse.
Mm-hmm.
We are troubled on every side,
mm-hmm.
yet not distressed.
All right.
We are perplexed,
mm-hmm.
but not in despair.
Now, most of God's people can't say that today. Everywhere we look, it perplexes us. Everywhere we turn, we are in despair because of what we see. Read, Allah.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Mm-hmm. That's the good part. That's good stuff. Persecuted, but not forsaken. What else?
Cast down,
mm-hmm.
but not destroyed.
Not destroyed. Pastor was speaking the other Sunday about even if an asteroid hit this earth, we, the people of God, are not destroyed. Someone say if it's big enough, it will. No, saints, not the you, as we coin it around here, not the eternal you, is never, ever destroyed. Read, Elder.
But not destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Amen. That the life of Jesus be made manifest. Suffering amen, the Lord causing suffering that the life of Christ will be made manifest. If not, we'll be manifesting ourselves or the flesh all the time. All right?
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake.
Mm-hmm.
That the life also of Jesus,
that the life also of Jesus,
mm-hmm, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Might be having been. God, that's an aorist subjunctive in the passive voice. That the life also of Jesus might be having been made manifest in our mortal flesh. The aorist tense is a completed action. The subjunctive mood is a probability. The passive voice is that it's not that you don't do it, it's done to you.
Amen.
Subjunctive mood, mm-hmm, is in time. When and where and to what extent it may manifest. The aorist tense said it's done.
Right.
It's done in God's decree, eternal decree.
Right.
Read on, Ella.
So then, death worketh in us, but life in you.
Paul is saying that we are struggling, things are coming upon us, they're just not haphazardly coming, but God has decreed that these sufferings abound in and with and concerning us.
Amen.
That we might deliver his truth unto you. And he gets all of the glory. Now, if they could sail on in there, no trouble, no problems, no worry, amen, the flesh would get the glory. But God is the one that is going to and deserve and shall receive all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Read on, Ella.
Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith.
Same spirit of faith.
According as it is written,
uh-huh,
I believe,
uh-huh,
and therefore have I spoken.
Uh-huh.
We also believe and therefore speak.
Yes.
Verse 14.
Knowing that he which has raised up the Lord Jesus
shall raise up us also by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And shall present us with you.
Now, you got manifestation where the Lord was resurrected after his crucifixion. But this is primarily speaking of actualization in eternity. There is nothing being done in time, but it's for testimony and manifestation only. Nothing being created in time is a creation itself. It's for testimony and manifestation only.
Amen.
Only. Let me give you that word some meanings as we go along. I don't want them all bog up on me. Testimony. Testimony is witness or evidence provided through or by the appearance of something. It is witness or testimony given or provided through or by the appearance of something. Manifestation is that which you can see, that which is revealed for us to see.
Amen.
Testimony and manifestation. Read on, Elder.
Verse.
I'm going to try to refrain much comment until you get to verse 18. Read verse 15.
Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
For all things are for your sake,
mm-hmm,
that the abundant grace,
mm-hmm,
might through the thanksgiving of many,
mm-hmm,
redound to the glory of God.
To the glory of God. 16.
For which cause
we faint not.
But though our outward man perish,
though the body is perishing,
yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
And you notice that word man after inward is in italics. There's a message there. We'll get to that. 17.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment.
But for a moment.
Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Light affliction, but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. An eternal weight of glory. Now, 18, Ella.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Why? That's what's before us. That's what our eyes can behold. But the scripture tells us we are not looking at the things being seen. We're going to bring out the meaning there. Amen. Because, you know, what we see, it moves us. It affects us. And usually in the wrong way. Because we don't always see what we think we see. Finish that verse, Elder.
For the things which are seen are temporal.
For the things which are seen are temporal. Hold it right there, Elder. I got to get this one out. I thought I was gonna hold it for later, but I got to get this one out.
Thank God.
Temporal or temporary?
Amen.
I want you to hear this one. Temporary. I looked in the regular dictionary, and I wanted to be sure I looked in the Bible dictionary. This word means for the occasion only. Lasting for only a limited period of time, not present. What he's saying here? For the things which are seen that you can visualize, that come into your eyesight, are for the occasion only.
Yes, amen.
They're not eternal. Hallelujah. All right, finish that one out, Ella. Finish it out. Finish it out.
But the things which are not seen
are not seen.
Are eternal.
Are eternal. Eternal. Without beginning or end.
That's right.
Eternal. Without sequencing. Eternal. Without any inkling of time. Not even a breath of time in it.
That's right.
Eternal. Always. Unending. Uninterrupted. No change whatsoever.
Yes.
Eternal.
That's right.
Things which are not seen are eternal. Everything that we can see is temporary and is for the occasion only, and we're going to find out what occasion that is. Let me give you some more meanings here. Actualization. Actualization is like actual. Actualization is a noun. It means to bring into being or cause to exist, or it's real, not imaginary or bygone. Bringing God actualize or bring things into existence and cause them to exist, and they are real.
Amen.
And them being real, they are not imaginary or passing. Actualization. Actual is an adjective. It means existing in fact, and a fact is a thing that's done. Existing now and current. Actualization and actual.
Yes.
The things which are seen are temporal or for the occasion. Temporary.
Amen.
Not long. For the occasion. Again, actual, existing in fact, existing now, current, always current, never bygone. An actualization to bring into being or cause to exist. Not real, not imaginary. You have two words there in actualization that I want to highlight, or rather in exist. One is real, and one is being. If it is not, it cannot be being.
Amen.
It has to
exist in order for it to be real. If it's bygone, that means it does not exist anymore. It only lasted for the occasion. Actualization. We want to speak to you from this subject matter today, the prioritization of actualization over manifestation, and spirituality or the unseen over physicality, the seen. The prioritization means to designate or to treat something as more important than other things. Actualization, we just read what that means. To bring into existence or into being. Real, not imaginary or bygone or passing. If it's passing, it was not real. It's gone. Now, there's a difference in real and realism. But if it's real, it abides.
Amen.
If it's bygone or passed on, it was not real, because for it to be real, it has to exist.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Exist means right now, current.
Right.
If it's past, was not real. And I'm emphasizing this because I want to finish somewhere. What we think is real, the real deal, the real life, is not so. Our life in Christ is the only real life that we have. Our existence here is temporary for the occasion only. Our manifested testimonial existence is for the occasion only. Praise God. The prioritization, esteeming more important, of actualization over manifestation, that is, the things we see. And spirituality, the unseen, over prioritize it. We are to prioritize it, according to our gospel, over physicality, the seen. Spirituality is to take preeminence. Indeed, all of the Bible, now this is going out throughout the world, all seven continents. I want to speak up loud and clear. Indeed, all of the Bible is true and is the Word of God. But just as true as that is, all of the Bible is not truth for us, the church, members of Christ's body. His own body, which is spiritual and not physical. In Leviticus, the 11th chapter, God said in the first verse, tell the children of Israel. He spoke it. Not the Gentiles, not us, members of the body of Christ. Tell the children of Israel. If it swim in the water and don't have fins and scales, don't eat it. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 25, I believe it is. Paul said, if it's in the meat market, eat it. If it's there, if it's sold, if you can stomach it, go to it. All of the Bible is true and truth, but all of it is not truth for us. Same thing in that 11th chapter of Leviticus about the swine. If you got cloven feet and don't chew the cud,
You couldn't eat him. A pig got cloven feet. He parted the hoof, cloven feet, but he don't chew the cud like a cow. He was unclean to Israel, not us. There is a difference. Therefore, in order to get to the truth for the church, which is the body of Christ, the Bible must be divided into dispensational and covenantal arrangements, of which there are seven. Seven dispensations, each having its own distinct, one of a kind, distinct, different, covenant or contract, each having its own gospel or good news or good message, each having its own federal head and the elect of that dispensation. The federal head is the one to whom the Lord God delivered or revealed, in the case of Paul, through revelation, the good message to and made the covenant or the contract with. So, if you do not divide the Bible according to these seven dispensations and covenants or contracts, you will be totally confused. A confused mess when you try to read it, teach it, try to explain it to God's people. Confusion to the utmost and to the max. Of which the church, listen to what I'm fixing to say, of which the church, God's people. I'm going to say it again for somebody to say that somebody, I said that somebody not saved. Of which the church, God's people, wherever they are on this globe, are in no short supply, that is, of confusion today. The seven dispensations and their covenants are, and somebody going to say, this is elementary. It might be elementary to you, but this is going out throughout the globe. The seven dispensations are, dispensation, first of all, is an economy or a house rule that God uses to deal with his elect for a given period of time. The time is not the dispensation, but the policy and the house rule of what God has implemented for his elect, that is the dispensation or the administration. Each one have a covenant. A covenant is a contract, alliance, or agreement between two or more parties. They are either bilateral, meaning man has to keep his part of the covenant, amen, and God obviously is able to keep his. They are either bilateral or unilateral. Unilateral, uni meaning one, God is responsible to keep all of the covenant or the contract. All the responsibility is on him. And we are in the grace dispensation, the grace contract, and the grace covenant. And we have as ours the grace gospel. Those others are innocence. In that we had the Edenic covenant. Peaceful, peaceful. It was a bilateral covenant.
Yes.
Federal head was Adam. God told him, "Say, when you eat of this tree, you shall surely die." Mm-hmm. God provided everything for them. They disobeyed, and they began to die. Next one is conscience, and that was the Adamic covenant or contract. It also was bilateral. Amen. When they ate, they realized something. They realized that they were naked. And when the Lord came to fellowship with them, they said, "We hid ourselves because we were naked." Who told you that you were naked? They didn't keep their part. God kept his. Again, everything conducive to well-being and health.
Amen.
Next one was human government. that was the Noahic agreement or contract, not the Edenic for Noah, not the Adamic for Noah. Noah had a different contract. Build a ship, a boat, and come in, you and your family only. It was unilateral. You say, well, Noah had to build the boat and he had to do this and that. Yes, but God sealed him in. God set the parameter of who was in and who was out. Noah and his family only. It was unilateral. God put all the responsibility on him. Next was promise unto Abraham. Abraham was down in Chaldees minding his own business with his idols, Ur of the Chaldees, with his idols. And God called him out. Come out from your family and your kindred to a land that I'll show you. I'll bless you and make you a great nation. All nations of the earth will be blessed in you. Abraham was under a unilateral contract. He didn't have to produce, provide anything for the fulfillment of the contract or the covenant. Next was law. And it was the Mosaic covenant. It was definitely bilateral. If you keep my commandments, the Lord told Moses to tell Israel. Excuse me, I'm nursing a cold. Israel, if you keep my commandments, then and only then will you be a peculiar treasure unto me, for all the earth is mine, the Lord said. Read Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8. It was a bilateral agreement, and as you know, they broke it. Then the grace contract, unilateral. Grace means no merit, none, zit, no merit. God has graced salvation unto us, and it's not in time. It's in eternity. We were saved and are saved in eternity. Praise God. You know, the church world got that thing mixed up. They had eternity past.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And then time dissecting eternity. And then eternity future. And depending on what you do in time, if you please God and do what's right, you'll spend eternity, the rest of eternity with him. There is no rest of eternity. Eternity is eternity.
Yes.
I don't know why I started coughing now, but God knows. Amen. Ours is a unilateral. All the responsibility God placed on him. We were saved in eternity. And in time, even though we didn't know it, until the Lord gave us the illumination of it, perhaps through the gospel, we knew then that we belonged to him. And what we do now, we learn unto maturation. You can't get no more saved there. We are all saved. The preacher, the bishop, and the pew member are all equal members of the body of Christ. Down here, they have the offices, amen, to guide and to lead God's flock. But in the body of Christ, we are all equal. Rich, poor, all ethnicities, amen, economic status, all equal members of the body of Christ. No Jew, no Jew, Gentile anymore in the body of Christ. I got to make sure I say that. In the body of Christ. Not male and female, in the body of Christ. Thank God it's male and female in physicality, but not in the body of Christ. Then we have the kingdom, the seventh one, the kingdom, which has been put on hold. Israel rejected the king. Lord Jesus is not our king, members of the body of Christ. He's our Lord. He's our head. He is Israel's king according to the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7. But the kingdom, irregardless of what the people with the pamphlets tell you, the kingdom has been put on hold. God has blinded his people and put the kingdom on hold and caused them to reject the king. What did they say at Jesus' crucifixion? This is all God's doing. There's nothing in creation that God is not in control of. Nothing in creation. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. So they rejected the king, so the domain is put on hold. And the Lord, it was God's doing to manifestly bring in the grace dispensation with his mystery truth. Hallelujah. All of the dispensations, covenants, and contracts, and all of the gospels or good messages have, all of them have an eternal earthly sphere of blessings and focus, but one. Focus means the center of interest or activity. Focus is the center of interest and activity. Somebody know why I gave that definition right now, Lord, and gave illumination. The center of interest or activity. All of the other dispensations and elect have an eternal earthly sphere of blessings and focus, but ours. The grace gospel, grace mystery truth. It was given through revelation from the eternal heavenly sphere. And that was no accident. That was no accident. Ours, as members of the body of Christ, is spiritual. Ours is not here.
Glory to God.
Yes. Our essence is not here. Our sourcing is not from here. This is not our home. This is not our abode. We are only here temporarily or for the occasion. And the occasion is testimony and manifestation to what the Lord has purposed regarding us. So that we can sing throughout the ages, look where he brought me from. Oh, look where he brought me from. It's God's purpose. He purposed it. Praise his holy name. The grace dispensation. And hence, the scripture, the subject of my dissertation. The prioritization of actualization over manifestation. Over manifestation. And spirituality, that which is of the spirit, invisible, immaterial, not physical, the unseen, over, regarding us, over the physicality, the seen. Now verse 15. Look with me at verse 15. For the all, for the sake of you, Paul tells these Corinthians, all those that were read up in the 8th and the 9th verse that I asked Elder to read, all the troubles, all the hunger, all the persecutions, they all for the sake of you, Paul tells them. For the grace increased through or by means of the many. Now that doesn't mean God's grace has to expand itself, the grace, but the knowledge that God had given them of the grace that came to them as the Lord illuminated their minds, they received the grace and the blessing through the knowledge. Yes. And the same way with us today, we receive, amen, an infusion of God's grace and blessing and his greatness and our worth in Christ, not in ourselves, but in Christ through knowledge of the mystery.
Yes.
You can't go nowhere else in the scriptures and find your real worth, where you are loved, where you're cared for, where you are complete. Everything God in you is complete. You even glorified already. You can't go nowhere and find that. except in the mystery writings, the gospel which the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus delivered to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, us. It was delivered from home. Letters from home, where our true abode is. This is temporary. Temporal. All of it. I hit my finger one time and bust the finger. Temporary. As pastors say, it came and it went. It came to pass. Temporary. And it abounds to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. Therefore, superordinating conjunction. Not, Paul speaking here personally, primarily of himself, because we have the first person, and him and those that are with me, forgive me, him and those that are with him. First person plural. First person plural. They that were bringing the gospel. Not being discouraged, but rather indeed also the outward of us, man. The outward of us, man. Even a little baby, as soon as they are born, they start aging. And then the aging process eventually demise. Or they're out of here. The outward of us, man, is perishing. It's perishing. How gracious and wonderful we are when we're young. We think it's going to last forever. The outward man is perishing. But, another superordinating conjunction. The Lord wants you to get this and get it straight. But, superordinating conjunction. But, the inward of us is renewed day by day through knowledge. You notice it didn't say man? The outward, it said man. The inward is not physical. It's spiritual. We are children of God. We are just like Him. We were spirit first, for by one spirit in eternity were we all baptized into one spiritual body. Our true abode, our lasting abode, is not for the occasion. It's eternal. It's eternal. The inward of us is eternal. Praise God. For, that's why I speak like this. For the momentary lightness of the affliction. Now here you got fired. Here you done got an accident. Here you broke your leg and a few other things that you could use. Here you all cast down from wherever. This angle in that place. Cast down, lied on, spited. And it says, for the momentary lightness of the affliction. You know why it's light? You've heard it preached here time and again from this here pulpit. It's quick. See, I've been catching it for 80 years. Quick. The momentary lightness of the affliction, the suffering. It's quick. And it's only for the occasion. The testimony is for testimony. So when we get into things out and about, we get into struggles, whatever they be, when we have hard circumstances, when folks and things and events are down on us, I mean to the point of standing to lose everything. It's quick. And it's only for the occasion. There's nothing you can focus your eyes on that is lasting or that is eternal being in this body. There's nothing you can focus your eye on that's going to last eternally. The scene is temporary. Regarding us, is for the occasion only. The lightness of the affliction, according to excess, lightness of the affliction, according to excess, to excess. This is where pastors say one superlative heaped upon the other. It's light because excess to excess, eternal, unending weight or fullness of glory work. Who do you think it's working for? Us. Eternal weight of glory. Work is for us. Now we're speaking primarily here of manifestation and testimony. Because in Romans 8 and 30 it says that we have already been glorified. In Colossians 2 and 10 it says that we are complete in Him. So this for speaking testimonial wise. Everything about us, regarding us, hit my finger, broke my wrist, broke my leg, got ran over, actually tore my car. Everything for testimony. All of it is just for the occasion. It won't last. You know why it won't last? Because it's the seeing. It's in physicality. Only spirituality abides. Excess to excess. Eternal weight of glory working for us. Not paying attention. That is, certainly now when you before you cross the street, you look. Well, you leave a cone in your car, you look.
Amen.
And other things. But not overly focusing. Not overly being concerned. Yeah, lock your doors at night. For God's sake. Yes, watch it when you're going in the dark at night in the store and so forth, coming out. You don't count your money all out in the open. But not overly. Even if somebody do something and take your very life, you are safe.
Amen.
It was only for the occasion. And the occasion is God's testimonial manifested purpose for your manifested life. Not being overly focusing us, the scene, or the things being able to see, but the not being seen. The scene is physicality, in physicality. The not being seen is in spirituality, eternality. But and that is a superordinating conjunction. It wants you to know the contrasting difference.
Yeah.
The good stuff. But the not being able to see. For the being able to see or the seen temporary. For the occasion only. The not being able to see, eternal, always, everlasting. I want to give you two examples. Elder Liverman, would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 1, I think, through verse 5. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 5. See, what God has us in, we are in manifested physical earth consciousness. In earth consciousness, consciousness means to know and be aware of. Be aware of your surroundings and to know. That's what conscious means. He have us in physical earth conscious, and our consciousness reacts or acts through our senses, our sight, our hearing, our tasting, our touching. That's how that works. But there is another sphere of operation that needs none of these. Another sphere of consciousness that needs nothing from physicality to operate and to be at peace and happiness and joy eternally. Well, I want you to begin reading at verse 1. And afterward, I'm going to give you an illustration. Begin reading at verse 1 of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the first verse.
Yes.
It is not a spitting for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
All right.
Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago.
All right. Now, what Paul is doing here, he is giving these Corinthians an experience that he had, a spiritual experience that he had that was greater. They were arguing and carrying on about spiritual gifts, tongues, and this and that. And he is showing them, laying out to them a spiritual experience that he had, but he is not flaunting it. Yet the Lord has enabled him to be humble regarding it.
Amen.
Humility. Amen. Amongst the saints is a great virtue. I knew a man about 14 years ago in Christ.
Whether in the body.
Whether in the body.
I cannot tell.
Can't tell.
Or whether out of the body.
Yes.
I cannot tell.
Yeah.
God knoweth.
God knows.
Such a one caught up to the third heaven.
All right. What he has given a note of is when he was taken outside of Lystra and stoned and left for dead. The Bible says they drew him out of the city. That word is better, drag. He was not stoned unconscious. He was unconscious or not conscious. And this is what he is relaying. While he was in unconsciousness of physicality, he knew he was in the third heavens.
That's it. Amen.
Consciousness is aware and knowing. Read, Ella. Verse 3.
Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth.
God knoweth.
How?
Verse 4.
Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise.
Now, this is an aorist indicative in the passive voice. These are not things that just came about when it happened. That was manifestation. What God show us for testimony of what he has done. And he has done it through a saying. God decreed all things that are through a saying. How that he was caught up into paradise. How you know it was paradise? He was knowing and aware through spiritual consciousness. Remember, he was not physically unconscious. Boom! And he was out like a light.
That's right.
They stoned the man. You bet somebody throwing big stones at you and hit you right above your eyebrow. Read, Ella.
And heard unspeakable words.
He heard, but he was unconscious. He heard not unspeakable, but inexpressible. Read.
Which is not lawful for a man to utter.
That word is exestai. It's not lawful. It's not possible. He had no, when he came back to earth of physical consciousness, he had no language, or there was no language to express what he had experienced in unconscious physicality, but conscious spirituality. Lord took him between the two spheres, unconscious in physicality, but very conscious, very knowing, very aware in spirituality. He was taken up to the third heavens. All right, now let me close with this, so that we'll know that everything, or can see better, clearer, that everything in physicality is for the occasion. It's just for testimony of what the Lord has done. We have earth consciousness and we have spiritual consciousness, awareness, and knowing. You all remember the story of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Amen. Lord gave Illumin this, story that Lord gave Illumin, so we are members one of another. So he's not using it right now, so here I go. I use all the pastor stuff. So. A tornado came. This is an American story for those abroad that are not familiar with it. It's called The Wizard of Oz. A tornado came. And something knocked loose from a part of the barn or something and knocked Dorothy unconscious. According to physicality, knocked her unconscious. And she awakened, as she supposed, in this magical, mystical land of Oz. Away from home, but all that was impressed in her spirit was, I got to get home. So she started reaching out for help everywhere, wandering. She experienced fear. She experienced dread. She made friends. She ran. She was chased. She had to have sustainers for her body. She was an animal owner. Yes, she had the dog with her. And she was curious. She got angry. And everything else that you and I do on a daily basis. Everything. She just couldn't seem to get home. Had a wicked witch was after her. Like somebody might have been after you. You know it, may not know it. Everything. You could not have told Dorothy anything different than everything was real. Then, in the dreams, the wonderful witch or fairy godmother told her to click her heels together and she would be home. And so she did, and as the story goes, the fictional story goes, Dorothy was home in bed in Kansas where she had never left. She experienced all these things. Moods, emotional moods and everything, fear, anger. Experienced it all. Running, walking, doing, striving, wondering. How much of it was real? She had never left her bed in Kansas. Here we are down here, striving. Trying to make it, trying to hold on, trying to hold on to the house, trying to hold on to the car, trying to hold on to our friends, our acceptability, trying to hold on to our integrity, just trying everything, waking up day in, day out, tired, exhausted, fell out. And we have never left. In actuality, the body of Christ in eternality. That's where we truly are. Just like Dorothy had never left Oz, even though had all those experiences for the occasion, we have never, ever left Christ. We're just going through manifestation and depiction for the occasion. We in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.